May it please the court. My name is Miguel Olano. I represent the petitioner in this case, who is currently before a petition for review here for a motion to reopen after his cocaine conviction was vacated in the criminal court on constitutional grounds. There were two motions to reopen. One was denied, and the second one, which is before the court here, for Lozada motion.
And how do we get around the Lozada infirmity as to your first motion?
I'm sorry, Your
Honor? How do we get around Lozada as to your first motion?
The Lozada didn't have to be complied. Procedures of Lozada didn't have to be complied with because the ineffectiveness of counsel was clear on the record.
Say that again slowly, sir.
You've
got to keep your voice up. I'm sorry.
The IAC was clear on the record. So
the IAC was
clear on the record.
Clear on the record. Well, but how does that comply with all the requirements of Lozada?
The court has.
Don't you have to give notice to the attorney you accuse of ineffective assistance of counsel?
Yes, Your Honor. There are exceptions when it is clear on the record, and also the counsel for the government has stipulated to remand to address the Lozada issue.
So if it's clear on the record, you don't have to comply with Lozada as your position. What's so clear on the record about this IAC?
The previous counsel didn't provide a copy of the vacated conviction in the motion to in the appeal.
Had the sentence been vacated at that time?
No, Your Honor. But I think in the second one, yes.
Well, I'm having difficulty following you. If it's so clear that you don't have to follow Lozada, and the clearness is, or the clarity is because he didn't submit a document showing that the sentence had been vacated. If the sentence hadn't been vacated at that time, he couldn't very well have done that, could he?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. Do you want to go to your next point?
What was the date the conviction was vacated?
2015, Your Honor.
When was the first application made, the first motion to reopen?
2014, Your Honor.
No, I think you've got your dates wrong. I think the sentence was vacated July 23rd, 2015, and the motion to reopen was filed in December of 2015, more than 90 days following the event.
Yes, I believe that was it.
How do you get around that 90-day bar?
I believe the conviction was vacated, went all the way to appeal on that conviction.
The motion was granted July 23rd, 2015, and the motion to reopen was filed December 11, 2015, more than 90 days thereafter.
Yes, we also made the argument it was the court should use its sua sponte power.
All right, that's a different argument. Okay, but what jurisdiction do we have to review the refusal of the BIA to use its sua sponte power?
We also filed a motion to reopen, change country conditions, and the asylum.
Oh, wait a minute. That's something quite different.
Okay.
Let's talk about first the refusal to reopen spontaneously. Under Bonilla, we can do that only if there's a claim and a proof of the BIA using the wrong legal or constitutional standard. What do you claim is the wrong legal and constitutional standard which the BIA employed in discretionarily, or if that's a word, in using its discretion in denying the motion to reopen?
We made the argument that the conviction was no longer legally the deportation order was no longer legally executed after the state conviction, because the state conviction was the sole part of the grounds of removability in the case.
Is there an alternative grounds for removability that's been asserted by the government in this case?
No, Your Honor. I believe it's only one count of the aggravated felony.
So once that conviction is set aside, if that were cognizable prejudice for ineffective assistance purposes and excuse that, what then is the basis for having a deportation order at that point?
He wouldn't be deportable. That would be because he only has a conviction as a juvenile for sodomy, but it's not a conviction under the Immigration Nationality Act. So the only thing alleged in the OSC in the order to show cause, which was the previous law under pre-1997, which the grounds of deportability at that time was aggravated felony for drug trafficking offense.
But is this something that's within our review, our jurisdiction to review for purposes of reviewing their refusal to reopen sua sponte?
The sua sponte, no, but under the question of law for the Ninth Circuit would be that the conviction was vacated under Wietersburg BINS 826F2-1179.
Are you claiming that that's something we can review in terms of the board's denial of sua sponte reopening? Isn't sua sponte reopening the only way that you can get review here?
No, sua sponte only if there also can be renewed under IAC and also changed country circumstances and also a change in the law under Wietersburg. That would be respectfully our position, Your Honor.
Talk to me about the changed country circumstances.
Yes, we filed a motion to to reopen the asylum or change country conditions. He is a native citizen of El Salvador who's never been to El Salvador, and the particular social group in this case would be returning Salvadorians who would be presumed to have cooperated with the police due to the fact that their sentence
That's
was.
A particular social group?
Yes.
Does it meet the requirements of particularity of Enriquez?
It does.
I mean, we've held over and over again that returning Mexicans to Mexico are not a particular social group under similar claims. Why is it different for El Salvador?
Because the under matter of Acosta, it's characteristics that should not be required to change. He had a drug conviction. He was deported. He came back, but due to the fact that he came back and the gangs may find out that he got vacated, they may presume that he may have cooperated with the authorities.
Presumption's enough?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Do you want to save some time for rebuttal?
If I may, Your Honor?
For sure.
Okay.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Robert Tennyson for the government.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yes, good afternoon. I'm so used to morning hearings. the government, as stated in its earlier remand motion, would seek...
You have to speak up, Mr. Tennyson.
Oh, I'm sorry. The government, as it stated in its earlier remand motion, would seek remand of this case. But if this Court has any questions for me, I'd be...
Are you confessing error in this case? It's unusual to file a motion for remand, a long time after the briefs have been filed and a week before the argument.
Right.
Why shouldn't we just decide the case at this point, or against you?
Right, Your Honor. The reasons why we seek remand, right, it's very much a matter of prosecutorial discretion. And sometimes
Pardon
when we are looking at a case.
Speak up, sir.
Oh, okay. Sometimes when we're looking at cases, that there are matters of prosecutorial discretion, there are matters of sort of why things we might want the agency to look at again, things that the agency might want to look at again. We speak to our clients. And sometimes these come out as we're preparing for argument. And that's pretty much what happened here.
What would be, if I want to understand the procedural posture,
sure.
If we were to find that Lozano, compliance with Lozano was excused because it was patently on the record incompetent not to submit the readily available proof that shows that the conviction has been set aside, right. Where does that place him? Does that mean that he then still has a sua sponte hurdle to get past, or is he now past the number and time bars and gets heard without having to go to sua sponte?
That's an excellent question, Your Honor, and it's not sure, right? This looks like a double step, I guess what you would call equitable tolling case, right? On the one hand, he's got to have the equitable tolling to get, he's arguing equitable tolling to get back to the time he filed his original motion, right? But there's an additional period of equitable tolling that needs to come into play, and that's the equitable tolling that goes from 2015 all the way back to 1996. And I'm not sure how that gets resolved, and that's something that we would probably want the board to resolve in the first instance.
Explain to me why, if the conviction was vacated on July the 23rd, 2015,
right, sure.
And the motion to reopen wasn't filed until December 11th, 2015, more than 90 days, why he isn't time barred on the motion to reopen?
Right. For the equitable tolling.
There's no equitable tolling once the sentence of the conviction has been vacated, is there?
So under the test for equitable tolling, you have to have due diligence. But
I think so.
Arguably, it's not something the board has addressed here, and the board didn't give that as a reason for saying we're not going to equitably toll this because
that's
you waited.
That's a good point.
And so it's one of those things that we would like to get back to the board.
If the conviction is set aside, what is the grounds for removing him from the United States?
Since his conviction has been vacated, if it were to be reopened and the board say, oh, those convictions are no longer, that conviction no longer supports either the grounds of removability, we don't have a ground of removability. He becomes a lawful permanent resident again.
Then how did the board not abuse its discretion in saying that there was no prejudice because he was basically a bad person on the balance of equities? I mean, he's not deportable, but we'll deport him anyway because he's a bad person?
Well, the board has, particularly in the sua sponte context, right, has this broad discretion.
To deny relief to people who it knows to be not deportable.
Right, and this court, in fact, in July, had a decision in which the board had said there was an individual who had his case, I believe, who had his conviction vacated, came back years later. The board said no. And, in fact, his argument was, well, the board does this in some number of cases. He pointed to 8 out of 30,000. And that there's a settled practice that allows, and so the board should be required to sua sponte reopen my case. And this court said no, that's not the case. So I think... and the board could give other reasons if it goes back to deny reopening on a sua sponte grounds. If the board had, say, for example, just focused on his unlawful reentry, or they could say there's a need for finality, and at some point we're just not going to allow for reopening in these cases. It could very well have done that. But that's not all that it did here.
I think Judge Collins was getting at this maybe a minute ago, but can you go back to the issue of, we understand the board has sua sponte
right.
authority, it can reopen these.
Right.
What are the circumstances under which it must, at least as it would relate to this case, would it must reopen and at least give it a fresh look?
So if there's no statutory, okay, Under the sua sponte power, there is no requirement that it reopen a case. It's purely left at the discretion of the board. That's the whole point of Eichmann. It's entirely left to the board. The only time in which there is any review is when that decision posits some underlying legal or constitutional analysis that's inaccurate. And even then, it goes back to the board to make its determination on whatever discretionary grounds it wants.
Well, aren't there discretionary grounds here upon which the board can make its determination independent of the vacated conviction?
Yes, they are here. The board, well, it gave two, right, in the initial one.
You've got the juvenile adjudication.
Right.
And you've got the conviction for violating a probation.
The probation order. Those are the two, as well as his unlawful reentry. Right, Your Honor. And so they could, but there's the difficulty with the juvenile adjudication, and that's that the board says, you know, indicates that there are multiple convictions for sodomy. Whereas, and I'm going to be agnostic as to whether or not he has a conviction or an adjudication, let's just call it a disposition. We don't know enough in the record. But we do know, insofar as this record relates to anything, there's only one. And we don't know how the board would address this and how it would resolve it if it, you know, one, without knowing one way or another whether it's an adjudication, a juvenile adjudication, or a conviction.
Pardon me for interrupting you. Concentrate on Bonilla, the exception to when we can review discretionary denials.
Right.
Tell me, what statute or constitutional principle was violated by the denial of discretionary review here?
Right, Your Honor. As to the pure discretionary determination at the end of the decision, I'm not going to say that that's probably protected and insulated.
What are you referring to when the end of the decision?
The end of the decision where they just throw out a sua say, you know, as insofar as we're dealing with the sua sponte, is this is a request for sua sponte reopening, you know, for the reasons we've given.
Furthermore, the respondent's motion does not demonstrate an exceptional situation that would warrant the exercise of our discretionary authority to reopen his proceedings.
Right. That's that very last sentence, right?
Well, we see no reason to exercise our discretionary authority to sua sponte reopen whether the respondent remains statutorily ineligible for relief. Is it your position that the Board of Immigration Authority was wrong in saying that the respondent remains statutorily ineligible for relief?
He is. If it's an odd question. If they were to reopen because his conviction's been vacated, right? Then he's statutorily ineligible for relief because he's not removable. He's an LPR. But if they can't terminate, if that grounds is not a basis for reopening, then there's no basis for him to seek relief anyway.
What does the United States of America, represented by you, want us to do?
To remand this back to the agency. That's what we're asking for. So the agency,
with any instructions?
With the instruction, one, to reconsider essentially this equitable tolling determination. And to determine, both
to reconsider its equitable tolling determination?
Yes, this court can consider its equitable tolling determination.
I wasn't aware that the Board of Immigration Appeals made an equitable tolling.
Yes, it's first that first section from the second paragraph, from the third paragraph of the first page of the decision, all the way to through the first full paragraph on that second page is an equitable tolling determination. So you've got that first set, those first few couple of paragraphs, which are an equitable tolling determination. And then you come down, you have the discussion of changed country conditions. There are three paragraphs that have to do with that. And the final paragraph is the final, sua sponte, we're not going to reopen this case.
So is your position that the discussion on Lozado and the prejudice, that there's something wrong with what the BIA said here?
At the very least, I would say that the board's decision needs to be filled in, and that it would be useful to have the board fill in that decision a little more.
But with what? With what? Fill it in with what?
One, to address in the first instance whether or not the whether or not you have ineffective assistance of counsel on its face under Reyes. I think that's the first part. Two, what it would mean for there to be ineffective assistance here. How far back does that ineffective assistance get you for purposes of equitable tolling, right? And then to evaluate the prejudice again, because the prejudice prong does have this juvenile adjudication. They've not discussed in any detail what that juvenile adjudication is. You know, if it's a juvenile adjudication, whether this disposition is a juvenile adjudication, or alternatively, whether it's a conviction, and also to sort of determine how many of them there are, because here they seem to indicate that there's more than one of them, more than one conviction for sodomy. So having them go back and to determine, based on that, how it would evaluate that question of prejudice at the back end.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you wish to use your time?
Very much.
All right. Thank you very much. The case of Gil Antonio Cisneros versus William Barr will be submitted.